the journey is long. Come walk with us, the journey is long. Come walk with us, the journey is long. The journey is long. The journey is long. The journey is long. Come uplift us. Come uplift us. Come uplift us. Come uplift us. And bring us to life. And bring us to life. And bring us to life. And bring us to
We now have the opportunity to meet several congregations that are considering joining Central District, the Americus Mennonite Fellowship, the Emmanuel Mennonite Church, and the Jubilee Mennonite Fellowship. We will have the stories in the order of that. And if you would come up, please, and share with us.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
I am Doris Poole, and
this is Jackie Campbell,
friend, neighbor, and fellow church member,
and a Bluffton Beaver.
I grew up in Southern California, went to UC Irvine. Go Anteaters. Okay. Eater Nation. All right. Anyway, to give you a little background, I thought I'd share a little bit about our history. We were started, gathered in 1987 by our founders, Lewis and Mary Overholt, and I'm sure there's some of you here that, since Lewis and Mary know practically everybody, I'm sure you know, some of you probably know them. And it started as a house church, and slowly but surely, we now have a building. I've been involved with the fellowship since 1994. I did not grow up in the South. I came to Georgia in 1991 as a volunteer with Habitat for Humanity and started getting paid sort of about a year later. Salaries were pretty low back then, but I stayed there and retired joyfully in 2016 in September after 25 years of service at Habitat. Americus is now my home, and so I like it there. I like to call us a small but mighty church in Southwest Georgia. I look at our fellowship, the Mennonite Fellowship, and I joined because it was a very good fit for me theologically, and I think our small but mighty Anabaptist presence in Americus, Georgia is incredibly important, especially in this time, in the times that we find ourselves in. Also, just to let you know where we are 150 miles south of Atlanta, so just to kind of educate you about where we are geographically. Lewis and Mary were our pastors for many years. They retired about 15 years ago. And Jackie and I were talking about this, and I think it's kind of important to let you know that we have a little bit about our history. We had a couple of interim pastors. We actually had a couple of pastors, for a couple of years after that, that didn't quite work out. So for about the last 10 years, we have been lay-led, and it has worked really, really well for us. Our deacon is Brian Kilheffer. He and his family are in Germany, which is why Jackie and I are here this weekend. I personally am the treasurer of the church, which I do joyfully. It's not my gift, but, you know, but I do it, and we have money, as I like to say. And I think another thing that you should know about us, and Jackie's going to kind of get into more of our outreach, but most of us are not from Americus, Georgia. We're from someplace else. Am I not doing this right? Okay, thank you. Take all the help I can get. And we came here, many of us, through Habitat, through Mennonite Voluntary Service, more recently from the Fuller Center for Housing. So we're from lots of different places. We have Mark and Melissa Simmons are local folk, but most of us are from somewhere else. And we have all found a home in our little community. And I think one of the things that our church does well is community. And if someone in our fellowship has a need, we help out. It could be a small need. Somebody's had a baby and they need meals, that kind of thing. Or in my case, a few years ago, I broke my wrist. And non-life-threatening, but when it's your dominant hand that suddenly becomes immobile, there's a couple of things you can't do. Driving was the big one. One of my coworkers helped me with that, but there's some other things, chores, that I couldn't do with one hand, and I had people come and help me do dishes, sweep the floor, and the church came over and raked up all the magnolia pods that had gathered in my yard that I was going to clean up the weekend after I broke my wrist. So we do community really well. And if we've had a couple of tragedies, and we just gather around each other and support each other and help each other out. And I think that's really, really important. And also, we're here because we really want to remain part of the Mennonite Church USA. And we think it's very important to be in relationship with, in communion with, the greater Mennonite community. And the message that we have as Anabaptists. I think that's just really, really important. I think that's enough for me. I'm going to let Jackie talk about...
Okay, so one other note about us. So I thought about something clever to say. So we're pastorless. We are also yoderless. We are a yoderless congregation. So I wanted to know, is there anybody else out here that has no yoders in their congregation? Okay. So most of us are from elsewhere, as Doris said, I thought about it yesterday, and I think we actually have three families that could be considered ethnic Mennonites, but the rest of us are immigrants, immigrant Mennonites. All right, so I'm going to talk a little bit about our outreach, and, you know, as Doris said, a lot of us came for Habitat for Humanity, so we've always had a lot of involvement in different Habitat projects as far as working on local house builds. We seem to always have, somebody is always going somewhere across the United States or internationally. And if you come to our sanctuary, you'll see it looks kind of like a mishmash, but we have a lot of, I mean, we have a Guatemalan blanket on the table, and we have something from Cambodia and something from Haiti and
Peru.
And so we have people going a lot of places, a lot. And right now, currently, we have some young people that are with the Fuller Center for Housing that are riding bikes across the country, across the United States, to raise money for the Fuller Center for Housing. And so we've always kind of supported those kind of things. And in fact, we've usually done at least one Sunday a year where we go out and instead of service, we are going and working on a house or something. So we have a lot of connections with Habitat for Humanity, the Fuller Center for Housing, Koinonia. The Koinonia Farm is about 10 miles out of town from where we are. And we've also had connections with the Alterna community, which is led by Anton Flores, and that's in LaGrange, Georgia, which does various things, mostly dealing with immigrants. Those are kind of our connections and what we do. So service is a big part of our church. Here in the last 4 or 5 years, we have really connected a lot more with our local Hispanic community. And we have one family that comes, that participates in our service. And so we usually have scripture in English and Spanish. But we've also started a tutoring program in our community. And we have probably 30 to 40 kids that come to tutoring. And it's very out of the box. I'm a teacher in my day job. And when I go to tutoring and, you know, it's a little less structured and these kids are acting crazy and stuff, but at the same time, they're being guided and they're being loved and they're given a Bible story. And also just, you know, connecting with their families. So that's been a part of what we have done for 4 or 5 years. And then that has even been a bridge where other youth groups from the area have come and joined in for an evening, or people coming and visiting our church or passing through have come and gone to the tutoring program. That's been a something that started small, but, you know, has grown and has blossomed in ways that we didn't expect. And my last note on here is that we also believe in potlucks. So, you know, I think that's pretty universal. We have it at least once a month, and then, you know, we might have some other special occasion or event, we will have a potluck. I'm trying to think if our potluck looks any different since we're not Cradle Mennonites.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think we just have the typical things. So that is us in Americus, Georgia.
I wanted to mention one other thing. In the past 4 years, maybe 3 or 4 years, we have had what we've called an Anabaptist Mennonite gathering, which is our friends from Atlanta Mennonite Fellowship and Berea Mennonite Fellowship is also in Atlanta, and from Emmanuel, and you're going to hear about them from Gainesville, and also our friends from the Alterna community, and we've been gathering once a year, and it's been quite delightful. So we're going to try to be joining our friends here in the Central District Conference. So we're excited. So thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Eve McMaster. Can you hear me? Yeah. My husband's telling me, get close to the mic. I'm pastor at Emmanuel Mennonite Church in Gainesville. We are located in the city that has the flagship Florida University, University of Florida, the Gators. And we are 35 years old. For the first 25 years, we were tabernacling, wandering from church to church, coffee shop to coffee shop in rented quarters. And our congregation began as a house fellowship Bible study of Mennonites who wanted to get together with other Mennonites, most of them affiliated with the university. But there is not a pool of Mennonites in North Florida. So this was diluted. Note we not only have no Yoders, we have we're very much like Americus. We're mostly Gentiles, people who didn't grow up in the faith. And we have been called by our members, small but mighty. We do a lot for a small congregation. We were very fortunate 10 years ago that a lovely man named Fred Beltram died in his early 90s and gave us a legacy. Fred was a non-combatant in World War II. He had an eighth grade education. He was a farmer who located 50 miles north of us in a little patch. And he went to the Baptist church in his neighborhood, but he was looking for a peace church. So he used to drive 100 miles round trip every Sunday. And as he got older, we would only see him about once a month. But Fred was frugal. He was so frugal, like my husband, he wears things until they fall off. You couldn't give him a new shirt. He saved his money and he invested in the stock market. So he left us a legacy that enabled us to buy a house and convert it into a church, a meeting place. We call it the Mennonite Meeting House. And we moved in March 2010. And it changed the character of our fellowship. For 25 years without our own building, and Richard and I have been there almost 20 years, we couldn't do much out of the community. We couldn't invite people to our events because they were held in homes. We didn't control our space. We had to ask permission to have a potluck if the Methodists or the Presbyterians weren't using the space. But over 25 years, this became a very loving fellowship. We were reluctant to go to hot, humid Florida and leave Lancaster County with all that good food and other things that we liked. I'm from Eastern PA. You know, pretzels and scrapple and stuff you miss when you don't have it. So we were very reluctant. But when we went down to meet the congregation, you could feel the love. And we said, well, they're kind of inward looking, and they're very small, but they're so loving, it just feels right. You know, the spirit of the congregation. And they've always been like that. But this loving fellowship embraced us, supported us. They're very kind to one another, as very much like America's fellowship. But I have a heart for evangelism as someone that God came after when I was in my early 20s. I really have a feeling for people who don't know that what they need is the Lord. And so I felt the need to share what we had. Now, there are some people who come looking for a Mennonite church, sometimes mostly graduate students who wander into North Florida, but not very many. And so we, now that we own our space, we have created a number of opportunities for people who aren't looking for a church, not even a church, to come in during the week. And the programs we have, or, you know, like God Look Coming After Me, have to do with refugees and immigrants. Richard is the coordinator of that. And we've gotten very involved, and Richard was able to get Gainesville designated as a welcoming city, and we come to Gainesville, where am I? I've been on the road for over a week, from Louisville, Kentucky, for the annual meeting of Welcoming America. And the room about this size had brown people and black people and Asians and Africans and Latin Americans, because this is a national network of people working with refugees and immigrants. And we've learned so much. And that came to us through one of our students who told us about the DACA students at University of Florida. And then when we were with the Presbyterians, we got to know a man who was on the national board of National Farm Worker Ministries, and we met the tomato pickers from Immokalee, and we learned about the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, and we learned so much about the lives of migrants. So pretty soon we got involved. The students who started this organization, the Gainesville Interfaith Alliance for Immigrant Justice, the leader had studied Saul Alinsky's theories on community organizing, and if you want to organize something that lasts, you have to go beyond the student population because you have to redo it every 4 years. So he's organizing churches. So we became the base for organizing help for immigrants and refugees. So we do that. And then a Quaker friend who had been very active in the civil rights movement was interested in having a group study Michelle Alexander's book on the new Jim Crow. So we invited friends to come to our space, and black and white came together. We had some wonderful, and we have continued, I think we're in our fourth or fifth year, called Dismantling Racism. And as Richard and I, sort of peripheral parts of the civil rights movement, thought we knew it all. Well, there is so much deeper to go when you're white. And one of our participants, Zahara Simmons, is an elder. She was a SNCC worker in Mississippi, and one time, and she was very helpful to us. And one time when she was talking about her work, I said, "Oh, Zahara, where were you in Mississippi?" And she said, "Laurel." And a man from our congregation, Paul Campbell, said, "Oh, my mother's people come from Laurel." And me, being an ignorant northerner, said, "Oh, maybe they knew each other." No, no, no way. But that has gone on, doing that work. We continue that. I spent 2 years in Turkey as a Peace Corps volunteer a long time ago, teaching English. So I have a heart for Muslims and people from the Middle East. And we had an incident in our town some years ago. It made the national. It was a media circus when a man put up a little crazy cult church put up a sign, "Islam is of the devil," and a Jewish friend called me and said, "This is really terrible, but it's not a Jewish problem, it's your problem, and you're the good active Christian, so do something about it." So I called, Richard and I went out and tried to talk to them, and they threw us off the property. So we, and he was at that time threatening to burn a Quran, which is what made the national media. So we called together our network of people in the community. We had about 200. They're carrying signs and making speeches and so on. But we said, "This is really a prayer meeting. So let us pray an imprecatory prayer," you know, like exorcism, that get this evil out of our community and let nothing good come from it. Well, after a couple years of mischief making, they did leave, but a lot of good came out of this. We have, you know, for us it meant an ongoing dialogue group, Muslim Christian dialogue, which has been marvelous. We host an iftar fast breaking Ramadan meal every year. We have really good friends who are Muslims, but so did the rest of the community. All sorts of good things happened in coming out of civic and church organizations. And another Jewish friend said, "Oh, that Quran burning, Islam hating group, they were the sand in the oyster shell that produced the pearl of all sorts of good things happening in Gainesville." And we thank God for that. And our Muslim Christian dialogue has been so interesting. If you've ever been in interfaith dialogue, you know that you go deeper in your own faith. So there are Muslims said, "Well, we never actually read the Quran. You know, we're Turks and Pakistanis. couple Palestinians, but most, so they felt they had to read the Quran in order to explain it to us. And then I had to explain the Trinity to them because they are taught that Christians worship three gods. So it's, we're doing other things I may have forgot. Oh, we have a Colombian refugee family who show up about once a month because there's no Mennonite church in Jacksonville. I'm talking too long.
My name is Russ Miller. I'm from Jubilee Mennonite Church in Belle Fountain. We are in West Central Ohio. Normally, being a part historically of Ohio Conference, you don't have to explain where that is, but the group's a little broader here, so we're about 3 hours away. Anne Lamott, author that I'm sure many of you are familiar with, but came to my attention over the last year. I don't think it was original with her, but in a TED talk that I listened to of hers, I heard her say that, speaking personally, we are all the ages we've ever been. And representing Jubilee here today, I would say to you that Jubilee is all the churches it's ever been. It has taken different forms in different times. It is, the present Jubilee is actually a merger of two separate congregations that grew up in the Belle Fountain area and merged back in 2001. In 1973, Keith and Thelma Matthews, Keith is a brother of Lawrence Matthews of Bluffton College back there, and I think Lawrence will agree with me when I say this, if you would have picked a short list of people that would never become leaders of churches, Keith Matthews would have been on that list. I went to high school with him. He was a couple years older. He was not my role model. But as I think everybody here would agree, God works in mysterious ways. And Keith and Thelma were brought into the fold. Have a heart for people almost unexceeded in my experience, especially in 1973. They began a Sunday school class for the mentally persons of mental handicap at at Oak Grove Church. And shortly after that, got a sense that Keith was to return to school and to prepare for pastoring. They left, came back 6 years later with the help of a Ohio Conference, started a church plant in the Belle Fountain area that was the original Belle Fountain Community Fellowship. Now, one thing that seemed like a good idea at the time, but looking back probably wasn't, was that that church plant was not affiliated. It was really a neighborhood-based thing that developed, and it was a very powerful thing. Later in the history of the church, where we decided to affiliate with the Mennonite Church, and it had never been a requisite that we do that, but to most, but not all, that seemed like a wise thing to do. You know, church is hard to do sometimes. And for whatever reason, things unfold as they do. But it was a very, speaking of budget, I just want to, it was that we had today. The original budget, once this Sunday school class and their return came to be, they decided to start meeting in the home and during the week. Then they decided to start meeting on Sunday mornings in Keith and Thelma's house. And in August of 1983, 35 years ago, they had outgrown the house and met at the local sheltered workshop in one of the classrooms there, and that was the first Sunday that Beth and I attended. We had been kind of commission sent out from our home church at Bethel Mennonite and West Liberty to be a part of that. And the ministry that started there with the mentally challenged people has continued as a thread through all the different churches that have make up the present Jubilee. Junior Baker is one of those, and he is a prized member of Jubilee. About once every year or two, he does a special number of singing the Lord's Prayer. The tune has never been the same each time. It always ends very dramatically, but it's straight from the heart. He's a good man. We've been through all the different things that churches go through sometimes. We were touched by the charismatic movement, by Bill Gothard and his materials, by deciding whether to affiliate or not affiliate. We always had a pastor from within, and as I got off track and go back to our original budget, here's the way to do budget. A way, not the way. Once we had money coming in, we had to decide what to do with it. So 25% stayed within the church to do what needed to be done. 25% went to the support of whoever the lead elder was, who was Keith. And 25% went to mission outside the community, and 25% went to mission within the community. And we were always in budget. But it also, as the issue of supporting a family, and it got to the point where that really wasn't feasible. Keith was needing to work outside the home and accepted a full-time pastorate in 1990. And from there, we had a couple people called and end up pastoring from within the group. And by 1990, the baby boomers, we were about 35 people when we started. About 18 of those were children. And it was chaos. We're about 35 today, and we do still have 9 children, which we're very fortunate. But we're loaded with too many boomers at the top end. But we're thankful for the children that we do have in our midst. In 1993 or 4, in South Union Mennonite Church, close by, there were people dealing with cancer, a small group formed around them to support them. That became a weekly meeting. A decision was made to make that a Sunday morning group. And I was looking through some history. In 1995, I think it was, Tom Kaufman, as conference minister for Ohio Conference, met with Jubilee, the original Jubilee group, and help them discern how to proceed and call a part-time pastor. And a year later, Tom Kaufman appears in the BCF minutes as helping us go through a transition from somebody stepping down to being our pastor to calling the next one. There, have I mentioned God works in mysterious ways? I think I have. He does. It's our job. Just try to keep up. We decided to build a building in 2001 after we'd merged with Jubilee, who had called a full-time pastor. And we're still in that building. It's a beautiful building. The pastor we had for 10 years, Tony Dorman, from about 2006 to end of 2016 or 17, has left us without a pastor again. And our numbers have decreased some, and having a building is wonderful in many ways, but it's absorbing most of our budget right now to keep it open. And that's part of the discernment that we're going through. We still have cancer victims. There are, last Sunday, one person said they were going in for an operation we were unaware of, but had been diagnosed. Another one was diagnosed a couple months ago. a third one thought last week that a doctor had suggested it could quite possibly be cancer, but that was not the case this week when it was further testing was done. We support each other. We do what we can. We had four families that had gay or lesbian children. It was a relief when that got out into the light and you could talk about it. And it also is probably the reason that I'm standing here today. I have nothing but good things to say about the help that High Conference has been to us over the years, but the position that they find themselves in is not the position that we feel we need to be a part of. I was late to the party. For my gay son. But during that time, I didn't demand time for people to wait on me. I was given space. And now I'm part of the party. But as a church, and it hasn't come without some cost, but we've decided that we can give everybody space, but we can't give them time. And it needs to be clear that all are welcome. One last thing. We were at a concert, Beth and I, a couple weeks ago. The young woman was there that is somewhat irregular but very important part of our church. Her parents were deported 5 years ago. Our church did everything they could to keep that from happening. He'd been a wage-earning, solid citizen the whole time he was there. Made the mistake of wanting to actually be a homeowner and got turned in when the paperwork started to go through. Had two young children that were born here but were young enough. They took them back to Mexico. They didn't know Spanish very well. They sent them back to live with Annabelle. And the church has stepped up to provide, has to make the best of a bad situation. And Annabelle just expressed how much that support means. Do the right thing. Try and do it all the time.
Thank you for your stories. We now have the opportunity to vote on the membership for Berea Mennonite Church, Chapel Hill Mennonite Fellowship, and Raleigh Mennonite Church. We ask only the delegates to vote. The parliamentarian has ruled that the motion brought by the board of directors is sufficient, and we do not need a motion here, so we are ready to vote unless there is discussion preceding the vote. And our voting will be one congregation at a time. So if you're ready to vote, I see no questions, no points of discussion. For Berea Mennonite Church, take a green card from the table if you are a delegate. Yes, if you are in favor of their membership. No, if you are not in favor of the membership. And then Emma and Carrie will pick up the ballots. Green. A table needs more ballots over here. Anyone else need more ballots? Question?
Just for those of us who weren't here last year, could we have those turned in
Sure. Members from Berea Mennonite Church, please stand. They're from Atlanta, Georgia. From Chapel Hill Mennonite Fellowship, Chapel Hill, North Carolina. From Raleigh Mennonite Church, Raleigh, North Carolina. Thank you. Okay, a green ballot or a green card, yes or no, and we'll have those cards collected. Only for Berea.
You did not make
that clear. Well, I said it, though. Okay. We are voting only on the Berea Fellowship with this ballot.
There would be separate ballots for the other two congregations.
Yeah, it wasn't clear to them. Okay. There are separate ballots for the other two congregations. That's why we are voting a green ballot right now. For Berea only. Are those ballots all collected? Green ballots. Okay. Next, take a purple ballot, and you will be voting on Chapel Hill Mennonite Fellowship only. And again, only delegates who are from member congregations currently are allowed to vote or are asked to vote. And again, yes or no?
Is it purple?
Purple. Are there any purple ballots still outstanding? Finally, then, take a pink ballot, and you will be voting yes or no on Raleigh Mennonite Church. Again, only delegates who are representing congregations currently members of the conference should vote. Do we have all the ballots? Thank you. Those will be tallied and we will announce the results in a little while. I'll ask Janine to come up again and lead us in song.
do verses 1 and 5.
Come walk with us, the journey is long. Come walk with us, the journey is long. Come walk with us, the journey is long. Come walk with us, the journey, the journey.
Put bulletins on your table from last evening's worship time, but I've changed my mind and we'll hold those for tomorrow. So just leave them on your table, please. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and it will be a prayer that with spaces. So during the time of silence, I invite you to continue on in your own prayer. Let us pray together. Lord God, we do want you to walk with us. In fact, you walk with us all the time. And so we want to notice that we are walking with you. Lord God, we want you to walk with us because we have no idea where we are going. We have difficulty seeing the road ahead, and we don't know for certain where the road will take us. Sometimes, Lord, as we walk with you, it seems like our steps are too slow. And sometimes, it seems like we need to run to keep up with you. We trust you, God. We trust you in the slow and in the fast and in the curves and in the straight aheads and in the ups and the downs. We trust you to lead us rightly on the road. And so we will not fear, for you are ever with us, and you will never leave us. Thanks be to you, God. Amen.
going to ask George Lehman to come up as chair of the Resolutions Committee.
We've moved this resolution to a different point on the agenda because Jim Harder needs to leave at the end of the day today. And we thought if we're going to say something as a resolution, we should do it now. So do you want me to read the resolution, Armin, or since people haven't seen it before, or I'll read it, okay. On this occasion of Dr. James M. Harder's retirement from the presidency of Bluffton University, we express gratitude for his 12 years of faithful service to Bluffton University and to the Mennonite Church, for his strengthening of ties between the church and all of the Mennonite schools, for his commitment to the Peace Church mission of Bluffton and its impact on students of many backgrounds, for his leadership in building an institution of higher learning that will serve the faith and scholarship of future generations of Central District Conference members, and for his lifelong commitment to the mission of the Church of Jesus Christ. We congratulate Jim on the recent birth of twin granddaughters and wish him a successful transition in whatever new roles emerge. Submitted by the Resolutions Committee today. Jim. Yes, the resolution, it's the motion from the Resolutions Committee.
And is there a second for the motion? In the back? Jane Thorley Rashley. Discussion? Jim, stand up. All in favor, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
We are always grateful when we have guests and visitors with us, and we have several that I want to mention today. First of all, anyone who is here from Emmanuel that will be joining from Southeast Conference, from Emmanuel Gainesville, if you are here, stand. Okay. Anyone from Americus? Good. And from Jubilee? Okay, great. It's so good to have you. Some other folks that are here, Anita Amstutz, representing Anabaptist Fellowship of Alamosa, Annette Burl Bergstresser from Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary, James Harder, Bluffton University, Les Horning from Eastern Mennonite Seminary, Eastern Mennonite University, Amy Huser from Camp Friedenswald, Cindy Lapp from Hyattsville, Mennonite. Jonathan Larson from Washington Community, not here yet. Amy Yoder McLaughlin from Germantown Mennonite Church. Kent Miller from Everance. And also Marlene Craker from Everance. Carla Minter, Mennonite Mission Network. David Mishler from Allegheny Conference. Steve Thomas, Mennonite Men. Sarah Thompson from the Mennonite Boomerang Project. Rebecca Whitmer from Germantown Mennonite Church. And Bob Yoder, Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary. Did I miss anyone else who was not mentioned, who considers themselves a guest at our meetings today? I'll introduce Michael a little bit later. Arlie, yes. Arlie Clausen from Mennonite World Conference, and Michael Danner, Mennonite Church USA. Anyone else? Well, I want to invite, before I do that, I do want to make a special announcement. Lloyd and Joanne Miller are celebrating their 50th anniversary today. Stand up. Lloyd is a former conference minister for Central District Conference. Glad that you could join us for this special day. I want to invite James Rissler and Dave Mishler to come up. So when we are on a journey, we anticipate that the landscape will continue to change as we move down the road. The same is true in Mennonite Church USA and our conferences. And last year, we reported about some conversations that had begun between Allegheny Mennonite Conference and Central District Conference. And I invite James has been part of some of these conversations, and he'll give just a brief overview. James is pastor of Atlanta Mennonite Fellowship and a former board member for Central District Conference.
Last June, after initial conversations between Doug Luganbill, Armin Habiger, and Lisa Weaver from Central District, David Mishler and Phoebe Sharp from Allegheny Mennonite Conference, and Nancy Kaufman, MCUSA denominational minister, a network team was formed with three members from CDC and AMC, in addition to Doug and Dave. This network team was tasked with visiting at least one conference gathering of the other conference, and at least one congregation from the other conference, and then dialoguing together about the affinity between CDC and AMC. Could we see our conferences affiliating more closely in terms of culture, history, leadership models, etc.? CDC's representatives were myself, Lauren Johns from Southside Fellowship, and Jane Rashley from Mennonite Church of Normal. In early November, each conference's representatives produced a report, and both reports indicated a strong sense of affinity between our conferences and a desire to think more particularly about how we might affiliate more closely. Those reports are in the folders that you have, not the report book, on white and lavender paper. Out of this process, a new affiliation task group was formed, again with three representatives from each of CDC and AMC, in addition to Doug and Dave. One member from both CDC and AMC carried over from the earlier network team, myself and Leanne Zook from Hyattsville Mennonite Church of Allegheny Mennonite Conference. The two other CDC members of this group are Donna Mast, a former conference minister of AMC, now pastoring at Silverwood, and Ron Gingrich, a former CDC president, now attending 8th Street Mennonite Church. Our group has met several times via Zoom, exploring possibilities for affiliation, and we have both enjoyed one another and had productive conversations. And I'd now like to turn this over to Dave Mishler, Conference Minister for Allegheny Mennonite Conference, who will share further about those conversations.
Allegheny Mennonite Conference is in the midst of a rebirth. Formerly 37 congregations in four states, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Maryland, and Delaware, we are now 12 congregations in the same four states, and on your map were the brown flags. Our geographic center has remained the same, South Central Pennsylvania near the county seat of Bedford. I was called to be conference minister in 2016 after much pain and hope were generated on differing sides of several aisles. Hyattsville Mennonite Church was reinstated to full conference membership when a reconciliation process concluded in 2015 after 10 years of being under discipline. The decision to reinstate Hyattsville passed by one vote, which led almost immediately to the largest fracture in the conference, following several smaller fractures over the Mennonite Church USA merger in 2001. So what is happening now is, some are calling a miracle, some are calling it rebirth. 2 years of revisioning, rebranding, focusing on pastor resourcing and support, generally fellowshipping and having fun together again, is raising the hope and collegiality again in Allegheny. I make no bones about the fact that when we looked at revisioning, we looked at what Central District Conference has been doing over the last decades, and we liked what we saw. I was given permission to plagiarize your documents. I have not held back in doing so. The network team, and now our joint affiliation task force, is working to undertake what we are most recently calling strategic partnership. Allegheny has moved from being quite fragile to not so quite fragile. We have restructured our budgets and staffing to get to a more sustainable financial picture over the long term, and CDC is helping us ask hard questions of viability and purpose. We seem to be determining together that a third, more diversity-aspiring conference is better for Mennonite Church USA. We need you to help in testing that aspiration.
So our Central District Conference and AMC Affiliation Task Force is generating some exciting possibilities of staff sharing ideas and short-term sustainability proposals that could assist Allegheny in being a place for congregations currently considering realignment within MCUSA to make a new home. Because we are small, and this is, I guess, still talking about Dave from Allegheny Conference.
I stopped at the end of the paragraph, and I should have kept talking, but go ahead.
Okay, I'm Dave Mishler right now. Because we are small in the middle of this fresh start rebirthing, congregations with a mind to be part of the rebirth for the sake of the denomination are taking some notice. One question we have thought about in Allegheny is for any CDC congregations who might be so minded to become associate members of Allegheny for a defined period of time, and that's a creative idea. Maybe 2 or 3 years, to become midwives with Allegheny Conference. Does that resonate with any of us that are here today?
And maybe I should take the next couple lines then.
Thank you.
In Allegheny, we rebirthed the struggling congregation some 30 years ago, with two families agreeing to be associate members for 2 years. After their commitment ended, one family returned to the home congregation. The other is still giving leadership in Crossroads Community Church. It might take some serious discernment for that kind of process to unfold with us. Are we, the guys from Macedonia, sort of saying, come on over? But again, serious discernment in all of that. I wanted to at least open the door this weekend.
So Dave, you mentioned some staff sharing ideas. For both of our conference, I guess I mentioned that, but anyhow, for both of our conference spending plans, staff salaries and benefits make up the greatest portion of our expenses. So we've talked about ways we might share staff that could benefit both conferences. This would not be new in Central District Conference because we have done that in previous years with Illinois Conference and with Ohio Conference, and I think even with Indiana-Michigan Conference at times. In response to new congregations joining Central District, our Central District Board of Directors has had conversations about increasing conference ministry staff time. Perhaps CDC could buy some time from AMC ministry staff to either focus on specific functions or serve as a resource to specific congregations. One idea of staff sharing.
Another might be in the realm of administrative staffing. We might find some opportunities for sharing there together. And by the way, I noticed, Doug, who got the larger applause this morning when we were introducing staff. Just wanted to make note of that.
As it should be.
For instance, if CDC took on some things like Menno data updating, the denominational pastor search and credentialing tracking system, or issuing credential cards and other annual credentialing processes and updates. That could make a significant dent in AMC's administrative expenses.
And I understand that one way that AMC has reduced expenses is to remove funding for participation in broader participation in Mennonite Church USA functions such as Constituency Leaders Council, conference ministry meetings, and staff participation in MCUSA. It is difficult to make decisions on what to cut, but sometimes those difficult decisions do result in reducing participation in some things. I would really miss you at these meetings, and I would miss participation by Allegheny Mennonite Conference in denominational meetings and gatherings. So one thing we've talked about is for a specific period of time, perhaps 2 years, sharing CDC resources with Allegheny Mennonite Conference to make your participation in these events possible. This might be between $2,750 and $4,250 a year. That's $2,750, $4,250 per year for 2 years.
And I interrupt this presentation now for a quick advertisement. We have a tradition in Allegheny offering a college-level, seminary-level Bible study each year at Laurelville. And on your table, you'll find a flyer that talks about next year's event. I think it'll be an exciting time. April 2019, Rebecca Barrett Fox, former Heston College faculty, current assistant professor of sociology at Arkansas State University, will be with us to examine American nationalistic conservatism, hate groups, and how they can be addressed from an Anabaptist perspective in the neighborhoods of our congregations. And our congregations find ourselves in those neighborhoods. For $200, you can't have more fun or enrichment or serious study and get into one of the great natural environments of our church at Laurelville. So check it out and join us. We also invite you to attend the storytelling station focused on a significant ministry in Allegheny, which is now 50 years young. International Guest House is a hospitality ministry based in Washington, D.C. It's strongly connected with Hyattsville Mennonite Church, so come this afternoon to hear from recent year-long host couple Jonathan and Betty Schrag, board member and pastor at Hyattsville, Cindy Lapp, and myself, where you'll learn more about IGH. Finally, Allegheny intentionally did not send persons to several train-the-trainer sessions last year, again as a budget-cutting effort. Instead, we utilized national staff for our Healthy Boundaries training. We would hope to collaborate strategically with CDC for such kinds of church-wide training if we further develop this strategic partnership.
And finally, we recognize the strong history AMC has of providing support and resourcing for youth ministries. You even have Joy Kochin on staff at 30% time to provide leadership. Your youth cabinet has helped train excellent leaders over the years. And you have provided program support to congregations around youth ministry in the past. We've explored ways that we might, in Central District, benefit from your focus on youth ministry.
How any strategic partnership will develop is, of course, dependent on our mutual purposes and desires as they line up, and we discern that together over the next year. Both conference leadership groups and delegate bodies will need to affirm any specific development. Would both conferences welcome shared leadership, shared staffing, either short-term or for the longer haul?
So, delegates and guests, we need your feedback. We need your counsel. So on your tables are questions. They are front and back. There are six total questions. One of the questions is bolded. So pay attention at your table to the question that is bolded. And please begin with that question as you have conversation around the table. As you think you've exhausted that question, then move on to another. Also, I want to mention this is not a time to be humble. If you have the gift of taking notes at your table, volunteer to do that right away so that we can spend time jotting down your feedback. So we'll call you back. We will go up to 11:44, which is right before lunch, to provide feedback at your table. Write down notes. We will gather those notes at the end. We didn't know if we might have some time for general sharing, but we'll forego that today. And just make sure you jot down some good notes, some real good reflection on those questions that are there. If you have questions at your tables, need some clarification before you feel like you can answer, come and talk to one of us. Yeah, one question.
The bolded question on each of our sheets, that's the one that our table should
correct.
Focus on.
Yes. You don't have to. If you don't have those questions, let me know at your table.
It sounds like there was good conversation about this. Please leave your responses on your tables, and we will collect those later, and those will be very useful to have. We have a couple of announcements regarding lunch and what comes after lunch. The first is that children will go through the line first. They're being rounded up. They'll go through the line, and then if you want to eat lunch with your child, you can grab them. If not, they will head back to the room where they've been hanging out. So grab your kid if you want. If not, they will continue to do their own things. When we do dismiss for lunch, after Doug leads us in song, we'll head out this door here, go down the hall, and then re-enter the doors over there, and then come back in here to your tables or switch it up to eat lunch. If you requested a vegetarian or gluten-free or dairy-free option, those are in the back. See David, he's got the meals if you put those down. There are 11 of you, but they're not available on the tables. I want to say during and after lunch, there are displays in the hallway around the sanctuary. Do check those out. There will also be book signings in the church library when the authors are here. They'll be signing those books, so check those out. If you want to make your way over to the Music Center, there's a beautiful collection right now in the gallery there, the Hirschberger Art Gallery, that is Amish Arts, 1900 to 1940, from the Pottinger Collection. So that's a series of quilts and other Amish kinds of artwork that you can head over there. We'll have time because we won't start our next delegate session until 1:15. So there are a number of activities you can be doing during that time. I want to say something about our plenary session storytelling, what we're doing this afternoon. That'll be at 1:45. We're trying something a little bit different this year in align with our theme of journeying and storytelling. We will be journeying to hear different stories. There are four different storytelling stations. You have the locations on your green forms. They're not in the program booklet, but the locations are on these green forms. You will have time to get to each of those storytelling stations. There are four of them, and they should each last about 25 minutes, and we have figured in 10 minutes of travel time in between for your journeying. And the way that we're encouraging you to start is look at your folders at the color. You've got a little circle. So take a minute to find your folders and look at the color, and I will tell you where we're encouraging you to start. If you left it in the car or you don't have it, no problem. You can just choose at random. But we wanted to get a good distribution at least at each station to begin with. And then after your first storytelling station, you can choose where you go. So if you have a red sticker, you will be hearing Jonathan Larson first in Newcomer 19. If you have a yellow sticker, you will hear Kay first. She will be in the sanctuary. If you have a green sticker, you will hear Sunitha first. She'll be in Newcomer 17. And if you have a blue sticker, you will be hearing about the International Guest House first in here in room 307 in the church. Do you need to? Yes, Frank.
Is that on the third floor? Is that why it's at 307?
It is not on the third floor. It's on this corner of the fellowship hall. It becomes its own classroom. Questions about that? What's that? You can choose after that. It would make sense if you would work your way down, but it's up to you. And your speakers should know to stop after about 25 minutes, but if they're not stopping their stories, encourage them to stop their stories so that you can get to each of these four stories. They're gonna be good. I think that's all the announcements I have. Doug will lead us in a song before lunch.
Thank you, Anna. Let's sing, "For health and strength and daily food, we praise thy name, O Lord." We'll sing it once together, and then we'll divide the room right down the center, and we'll start on that side. We'll sing it as a round twice. So once together, twice as a round. For health and strength and daily food, we praise thy name, O Lord.